Welcome back to Chimpsey's World American 87, the CRA Christmas show. And on the phone right now, we have Oleg Atbashian, who is the director of the People's Cube at thepeoplescube.com. And he is also the author of Shakedown Socialism. Oleg, welcome to the program today.
Hello.
Well, how you doing, my friend? Are you having a good Christmas so far?
Yes, my son, who's 18 years old, is promising to cook dinner for us because he wants to be a cook. So I'm looking forward to the experience.
An experience? Are you like the guinea pigs of an experiment he's got going?
Yeah, we're doing sort of little social experiments here. He grew up in America. He came here at 3 years old, so he doesn't like Russian food, and so he's preferring all kind of American varieties, including Chinese and Italian.
I like that. Well, like, obviously you're from Russia. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to write Shakedown Socialism?
Technically speaking, I was born and grew up in Ukraine, although I did live in Russia, in Siberia, for 3 years. That was just one big country, the USSR, so at that time the distinction wasn't so big between different Soviet republics. But growing up in the USSR, where the only permitted sources of information were textbooks and the official media, I believe that the Soviet Union was the most advanced society, while all other countries lived in poverty and oppression, devoid of the sun of Marxism-Leninism. And, of course, I wanted to become all those countries to become more like the USSR for their own good, and couldn't wait to grow up and live in the communist future, not worrying about money. You know, the great communist future that was described to us by our teachers and the media and the movies were some mysterious entity would take care of all our needs and we wouldn't have to worry about anything. It was just extended childhood. So what's not to like? But with years I began to encounter problems, boundaries to intellectual inquiry, hypocrisy and corruption. And so I tried, as everybody else in the country, I was trying to find out what went wrong. And at first I attributed it to the wrong dogmatic interpretation of Marxism by the ruling elites. Then I realized that Marxism was not the solution, but the cause of the entire dysfunctional system, and that communist utopia was only a dead-end exit in humanity's long journey towards progress. And so I took on activism and joined political groups underground. I collected signatures in defense of dissidents. I wrote articles and short stories that satirized socialism and the self-delusional Soviet regime, and most of it was never published. And now I'm here in America doing exactly the same, writing satires and stories and articles against communism and socialism. And if somebody were to tell me back then that I would be doing this, I wouldn't believe them. Why, living in America, where I came here to live in a capitalist society as a free man in a free country, I would worry about socialism. But here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Well, I love the tagline of your book where it says, it failed in the USSR, now it's moved to the USA.
Yeah.
If it has failed everywhere, it's been implemented, or it's in the process of failing. So my question is, if socialism always fails, why are Obama and the Dems doing their damnedest to shove it down the throats of the American people? Are they just idealistic, or is there something more diabolical going on?
They all believe that they would do it right, that nowhere else communism or Marxism was implemented properly, and that's why In a different country, it would all be different. But it won't be different. And one of my arguments in the book is that the failure of socialism in the USSR happened not because there was something wrong with the Russians or because Stalin perverted the originally good idea. The Marxist ideas simply don't fit the human reality. And so when the system failed to change human reality through terror and mass murder, it began to adapt to reality in order to survive. To an extent, it could do it without giving away the control of the means of production.
Yeah.
It was a long and painful process, arriving to a compromise that was held together by raping the country's natural resources in combination with massive deception and self-delusion. In other words, it couldn't have happened any other way. And the examples of all the Marxist economies prove exactly that.
How about European socialism?
One may say that the modern European socialism is different, but it is not sustainable.
Yeah.
The left is still trying to subvert the system, and we are witnessing how the witnessing the results. We've seen what's happened in Greece.
Yeah.
Now it's happening. It happened in France. So now it's happening in Great Britain, in Ireland. The Europeans voted in their parliamentary democracies for all these great benefits, high salaries, long vacations, early retirement, big pensions. But who is going to support all that?
Exactly.
As Margaret Thatcher had said, my favorite quote, that the problem with socialists is that eventually they run out of other people's money.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. They did run out, and now the austerity has to be imposed, and the people who got used to high living standards do not agree, and the left is using that opportunity to stir discontent and destroy the system even further.
Wow, that sounds like Obama and the Liberal Democrats to a T.
I don't know if you've read Mark Steyn's great book, America Alone.
Great book.
It describes very well how Europe had come to this situation, and now, in order to support themselves, you know, they enjoyed life so much that they didn't bring any children to the world, and the population growth is negative all over Europe, and now they are trying to compensate that by bringing more immigrants, but because if previously immigrants who were coming to other countries usually expected to work hard and support their families, now with all the social services available, the nature of immigration changed, and now immigrants come to Europe in order to milk the social services system.
And that's what's happening here in the U.S. as well.
Exactly. That's my answer to the immigration problem. It's not that of course, the border needs to be secured,
yes.
But the main problem is that those who come to this country are not, well, some people still come to here to succeed and to work hard, but there are also a lot of people now who are coming here for the social services to milk the system. So the more safety net, the more socialism there is implemented, the more there will be a clash between the citizens and the new immigrants who are using the system without contributing to it. And so that is the problem. That's why these problems weren't happening in the past, when people were coming here not expecting any government money, any help. They were just relying on their own resourcefulness and hard work.
Exactly. Well, like my father, who was a Portuguese immigrant who believed coming to America for opportunity, not for handouts.
Yeah. Well, I know your book talks about the fallacy of economic equality.
When we see socialists here in America use the class envy card and prey on the entitlement mindset, which helped the Marxist Obama win the presidency. For instance, I have an unemployed friend who said to me, Obama is helping us right now. And he mainly said that because he told me he doesn't really have to jump through hoops when it comes to his unemployment. Not just the extension, but he doesn't even really have to show that he's looking for work. And they just keep giving him check after check after check. How easy it is right now to sign up for food stamps. They like to call it food assistance. How they can get mortgage assistance. All these type of entitlements that's so easy to get right now. How do you convince those who live off the government dole that they are ultimately destroying America?
The entitlement mentality is being promoted here as a plan. You've heard about Cloward and Piven strategy?
Yep. Thanks, Glenn Becky.
The entitlement mentality is a direct result of that, and it's very convenient to the leftist politicians because it reinforces their position and their so-called moral high ground, which they claim they hold. And if people need help, then of course, who will be there to help them except, you know, if not somebody who promises redistribution of wealth? But here is a little contradiction here. If somebody gets into office on the promise of helping the poor, wouldn't be fulfilling his promises and actually eliminating poverty, wouldn't that be in conflict with his other goals of maintaining his position and expanding his voting base?
Yeah, because if you can truly eliminate poverty, you can no longer have the poor vote for you.
Any politician would be interested in expanding his voting base and remaining in office and maintaining power. And for that, poverty needs to be expanded in order for them to keep and gain more power. So there is a conflict of interest to begin with.
It's really, so there is something diabolical going on in the sense they want to really destroy the middle class so they can stay in power.
Right, and answer this. Who won in the war on poverty, and how did it end? Was there a truce or a peace treaty or something? And who exactly are the insurgents here in the war on poverty? Is that the poor, the unions, or the Tea Party?
Well, according to the last midterms, it was the Tea Party that won.
Yes, in my book I explain why economic equality is an illusion. It is like an optical illusion that is, if it's an optical illusion is described on the paper, like in the paintings of the painter, this Dutch artist, graphic artist Escher, then it's a pretty interesting thing to look at, and enjoy, admire, and find the contradictions. But if it's an abstract economic theory and it contains similar tricks of the eye and illusions, it's very hard to debunk that because you don't see it on paper, and it's hard to imagine the entire system simultaneously in order to notice all the contradictions between different elements of it. And that's what I'm trying to do in my book, to show where this illusion goes wrong. But people who are enamored with this illusion, they love it so much that they think that it's such a great goal that even if we sacrifice a man, a person, or a group of people, or an entire class, or some, or even an entire country to that great goal, that wouldn't be such a high price to pay because the goal justifies the means.
Well, we know that liberal fascists here in America were willing to sacrifice our very freedoms to see their idealistic point of view succeed here in America. But like I said, with the last midterm election, there's some hope, don't you think?
Yes. Well, maybe I'm an optimist by nature, but also the things that I see here, the people with whom I speak, including you, by the way, that gives me hope that this country is still not lost, and there is a critical critical mass still present in order to turn the things around.
All right, folks, Oleg Apodashian, you can both check out his website, The People's Cube, and purchase his book, Shakedown Socialism, at thepeoplescube.com. That's thepeoplescube.com. I believe if you purchase it there, you can get an autographed copy from Oleg. And that's Shakedown Socialism at thepeoplescube.com. Oleg, we thank you for being on the program today. And be careful of your son's experimental Christmas dinner.
Right. I have my cat and the dog as the official tester.
That's the way to go. All right. Thanks for being on the program today.
All right. Pleasure talking with you.
All right, folks. Once again, that was Oleg Apodashian, and his book is called Shakedown Socialism, and you can get it at thepeoplescube.com. Really good common sense stuff concerning socialism that everyone should know, that socialism basically is socialist politicians promising the moochers that they will end poverty by taking from the producers and giving it to the moochers, even though they're fully aware that this will cause even more poverty and create even more moochers, which means more political power for the socialist politicians in this country. Once again, get Oleg Apodashian's perspective that came from two different countries. What he saw growing up in the USSR and what he sees going on now in the US of A. By reading Shakedown Socialism, and you can get it at thepeoplescube.com. Alright, we'll be right back after this brand new Chimpsmas parody by the great Edward L. Daly.